Welcome to the Bringing Her Hope podcast. I'm Bethany Bravery, and I'm thrilled that you are here. Each week, I invite a girlfriend on the podcast to share not only the story that God is writing for her, but the story that God is redeeming in her life. I cannot wait for you to meet each and every one of these amazing women who I know will inspire you to also live out the story that God is calling you to, and to give you hope that He will be faithful to redeem your story as well. I wanted to take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor of the Bringing Her Hope podcast, Friends of Hope. Friends of Hope is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to the support of Christian radio, Christian events, new media, and activities that share the good news of Jesus Christ. So thanks again, Friends of Hope, for sponsoring the Bringing Her Hope podcast so we can continue to share more brave and beautiful stories of God's redemption. My guest this week is Mary DeMuth. Mary is an author, she's a speaker and a podcaster, and she is passionate about helping you live a restored life. A survivor of neglect and sexual abuse, Mary was rescued by Jesus when she was 15. She has spent her life healing from trauma so she can also help others not feel so alone. Mary, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Friends that are listening, Mary is an author and a speaker. She's a podcaster, but you're also a survivor of neglect and sexual abuse. So why don't you allow us a little bit into a piece of your story? Share what's going on, what God's taught you through your story.
Yeah, so much He's taught me, but I am a survivor of sexual abuse. I was sexually abused at age 5, but surrounding all of that was a lot of neglect. I'm a child of 3 different divorces and the death of one of my parents, my father. And so it means that by the time I was in the 7th or 8th grade, I was suicidal. I didn't know what the point of me was. By this time, my mom was going through a 3rd divorce, and I was losing another dad, and I didn't know how to handle it very well. And as an only child, you know, it's just a lonely existence. And I also just grew up in a really super unsafe place where there was drugs and just crime and all of that kind of stuff. So all of that was kind of made into this stew that became me. And I finally was invited to Young Life in 9th grade and met Jesus in 10th grade at a weekend Young Life camp where I heard the gospel presented really clearly for the first time. That was just the beginning of a very long healing and adventure, I'd like to say, of kind of working through some of the trauma of the past and experiencing, you know, just these bits and fits and starts of healing. I wish I could say, you know, oh, I'm totally 100% healing. The moment I met Jesus, He healed me 100%. But it's been this journey that I've been on for a long time.
What does it look like, you know, as you described yourself at a young age, what does your identity look like now? Are you able to see yourself how God calls you? What are your struggles? And if you have, you know, these questions or these thoughts of what you were like as a child or what you thought you were, how have you been able to counter those?
Well, it's not always been easy. It's hard for me to see myself as loved or beloved. Mm-hmm. I often look back and, you know, just see that little street urchin child. But I think the longer I grow in my walk with Christ, and as a mom, I think that really helped me too. I realized just how much I loved my own children, and they could do they could do wrong, they could do right, and nothing was going to change that, and how precious they were to me. And so having that deep affection for them helped me to finally unlock the mystery of God's love for me. So I realized, well, He created me, and He's my parent. He has those same kind of delightful feelings toward me as I have, you know, as a human toward my human children. So that has helped me quite a bit.
And now that you've had opportunities to be able to share your story, maybe with other women through your books, how has that been healing towards you? And what has that looked like for you?
Yeah, I think some of the most greatest moments of my life have been finding out that me sharing a story that's hard has helped someone else not feel so alone, or given someone else hope that, you can truly have an amazing, joyful life even after a lot of trauma. And that, that Jesus does do this kind of rejuvenation of your story, a rewriting of your story, and you're not held captive, you're set free from it. And so, yeah, whenever I have the chance to talk about Jesus and what he's done and then seeing the result of that in other people, it just gives me so much joy. It kind of makes me see that even though I don't like what I went through, that Jesus still could redeem it.
Mm, I love that. That's all that this podcast is about, is just sharing stories of God's redemption. And I can tell that you are passionate about that. I loved your concept of what you said, the restored life. So if there is someone listening today and they don't feel like that their story is redeemable, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say that's not true. And unfortunately, that is what the enemy of our souls loves to whisper to us all the time. So we have to be careful about what voice we're listening to. There is always the possibility of redemption when Jesus intersects a story. And if you're locked in that place of thinking it can never be redeemed, it may be time to talk to a really great grief counselor, because this is really about grieving. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did, I think that I did well, not to boast, but when I was in college, all of this trauma, of course, just came roaring to life because I was finally in a safe place where I could kind of fall apart. Mm-hmm. And I cried a lot and told my story a lot, but I asked people to pray for me. And I was fortunate to have asked people that really loved to pray. Mm. And there was just something beautiful about those many, many sessions of prayer in college that set me free from so much. I would say that the lion's share of my healing came there. And of course, I've had counseling too, and all of the other things are awesome and great, and I would never discourage people from that. But perhaps if you're afraid, maybe now is the time just to ask for someone who you know likes to pray for you in your presence with them, or over a Zoom call with these, how these things are these days, but just to be prayed for and just to get the story out so it's not stuck in you anymore.
Mm, I love that. Speaking of prayer, Mary, you just wrote a new book called Pray Every Day, 90 Days of Prayer from God's Word. So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, one of the first devotionals I wrote was called Jesus Every Day, and it's kind of like the opposite of Jesus Calling. So in Jesus Calling, Jesus says stuff to you, and in Jesus Every Day, you say stuff to Jesus based on the scripture that you read that day. And that book birthed a podcast called The Pray Every Day Show, where I just take that same pattern. I read scripture, and then I pray according to the scripture for the audience, and it's 5 minutes long. And so then that podcast sparked an idea to begin thinking about writing a Pray Every Day devotional, which is based on almost all of the prayers of the Bible. So it's 90 prayers, and I think there's a little over 100-something prayers, but I handpicked 90 of the prayers of the Bible and then unpacked them. And they go, it's kind of fun because they go from Genesis to Revelation, so you kind of get the whole counsel of Scripture from all those prayers throughout the devotional. So that's where it came from.
I love that. And who would you say you wrote this devotional for when you were putting these prayers together? Who did you have in mind to read this?
You know, I think a lot of us have misunderstandings about prayer. And it's really for the general Christian out there who, you know, has a pretty good grasp on prayer, but maybe feels like there's more to learn. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, I don't think a lot of us have really analyzed the actual prayers of the Bible. We talk about prayer, we teach about prayer, but, you know, just to look at the actual ones, I felt like there was a hole there. So I filled that hole with folks in mind who wanted to learn a little bit more about it.
I love it. We have a Facebook group called Bringing Her Hope, and oftentimes there's discussions about different topics, and prayer is one of them that came up, and a couple questions that were asked that I thought, hey, let's talk about it since we're talking about this prayer devotional. Is the first one was, for you specifically, Mary, what does it mean to talk to God?
talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it means both quietly and out loud chatting with him throughout the day. And that, I guess that could make me look a little crazy, so I don't do it at the grocery store. But sometimes in the quiet of my home, I will just pray out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It means to have a conversation, just how the person phrased the question. It means to converse, to, hey, what do I do about this today, Lord? Or, oh, gosh, that email really hurt. What do I do? Here, I give it to you. I'm in anguish. Please take it. Or, Lord, show me who to love today. I feel like I'm being selfish today. I'm really self-absorbed, and I'd like to reorient my heart towards somebody else. Show me who I can bless. Those kinds of conversations, it's just like having a conversation with your best friend all day long.
And mm-hmm.
I kind of pattern that after Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, which is one of those Hallmark books about prayer that has deeply influenced me.
I love that. So another question that was asked that I would love to hear your feedback on is, what are we allowed to ask from the Lord? When we go to Him in prayer, what are we allowed to ask? So I would love your feedback on that.
We are allowed to ask anything, because He already knows we're wrestling with it anyway.
Amen.
And it is okay to ask, where were you, God?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to ask, why did that happen? It's okay. It already exists in your mind. You're already wrestling with it. You might not get the answer in that moment, like in a flash of lightning,
mm-hmm.
but it means that you're communing. What happens is, I think a lot of times we don't give ourselves permission. We kind of have this idea of this is what a Christian woman's supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and she can't have questions about, you know, her faith, and she can't, you know, be angry at God about something, and she can't be real about this. And so we kind of try to play nice with God, forgetting that He already knows what's already in there.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer is really about connecting and relationships. So you can ask Him anything.
Absolutely. I love that. And another question that was asked that I think we often kind of wrestle with as well is, so if God has a plan set already, why should we pray if His plan is already set? What would you say to that?
Well, that's a theological question, and one that would take probably a couple hours of discussion to talk
yeah.
about, because we're talking about sovereignty and
yes.
You know, predestination and all of that. But I would say that we can still look to Scripture, because as you see in several instances in the Old Testament, that prayer actually did change course of history. Prayer did change the mind of God in a specific situation. And so besides everything, I'm not God. I can't know everything. And so how could I possibly know what the outcome would have been or what it should be? And so I should err on the side of asking
mm-hmm.
and err on the side of daring to believe and err on the side of, well, look at the disciples in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. What did they do? They prayed someone would be healed, and the person was healed. Well, why can't we do that now?
Mm.
So it doesn't mean that we're guaranteed an answer that we like, but we can rest in the fact that God loves to be with us, and
mm-hmm.
He loves to hear our requests.
I love that. That's so true. How would you say that prayer has enriched your personal walk with the Lord?
How has prayer personally enriched it?
Yeah.
It's the air I breathe in my relationship with God. I mean, it's just everything. It's that line of communication, and I bring it back to marriage. Like, when things are going well with my spouse and I, we have a really good line of communication going on, and we're, you know, talking about little things and big things and happy things and, you know, things that are frustrating, and that shows the depth of the relationship. When we have discord, then, you know, we're not talking as much, we're not connecting as much. And we always have that opportunity to have that connection with God. It's often us who, because he has, you know, opened the door wide open to us. It's often our own, like, insecurities or our guilt or our shame that prevent us. We think, well, he doesn't want to hear from me because I did this thing, or I have this repetitive sin that I've been dealing with and I can't seem to get over it, so God doesn't love me anymore, so I'm not going to talk to him. And none of that is true. He always loves you, and he always welcomes you back with open arms.
That's so very true. Have you found that praying has developed your faith? And if so, how has it developed your faith?
I think for me, it's been this understanding of what the voice of God is and who the voice of God, you know, what does it sound like? Mm-hmm. And that takes years to develop. And I think a lot of times we mistake our own voice with the voice of God. And, you know, I grew up being harmed by the people in my life and being bullied. And somehow, when I got older, I found that as my safe place, which makes no sense, but that's just, you know, you kind of go back to what you know. And so I began taking it up when there was a vacuum of no bullying. I would do it to myself. And then I would believe that that voice of bullying, like, you can never amount to much, and why are you, who do you think you are? You know, those kind of voices. I thought that was God's voice. And it's taken me several years to understand when God convicts you of something, it's always with hope. Mm. And his voice is so kind and tender. And if he's going to correct you, it's with the undergirding of love. And so having that understanding of who he is and what his voice sounds like has deepened my faith, because now I know he's for me, not against me. He's not the mean girl in my head. And his voice is the loving, kind, compassionate, you can do this, I love you, my child. And so that's what I've kind of learned past couple years.
Amen. I love, as listeners, you're listening right now, just to hear Mary, to hear her story, to hear what God's walked her through and the way that he's been able to shift her perspective on how he views her and how he calls her by name. He does the same for you. So I want to encourage you in that. Mary, you are doing an incredible thing. You are doing a big book giveaway with us, which is so awesome because we have so many readers here that listen to this podcast. So thank you so much, number one, for partnering with us to do this book giveaway. Again, the book is Pray Every Day, 90 Days of Prayer from God's Word, and you can enter at bringingherhope.com. So thanks for doing that with us, friend.
Awesome. I'm so glad to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that people are going to want to connect with you. I know that at your website, you can read more of your story in detail. So how can they do that? How can they follow you on social? What's your website? All these things. And just a reminder, friends, we always put it in the show notes as well if you're driving or doing laundry or going on a run as well.
Okay, yeah. So people can find me most anywhere at Mary DeMuth, just at Mary DeMuth, and then marydemuth.com is my website. And the Pray Every Day podcast is prayeveryday.show. And at the end of July, we should hit 1 million downloads. The show's gone all over the world. And almost, you know, weekly, I receive testimonies of what God is doing in remote parts of the world with that podcast. So I'm really excited about that.
Awesome. We are so proud of you. And yes, we'll put links to the podcast as well so you guys can hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of that. Well, Mary, thank you for taking the time out of your day to just share with us your story, to be the transparent and just encourager that you have been today. So we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. And I do pray that the Lord would bring hope and strength and peace and joy and all those fruits of the Spirit to all of your listeners today, that there is no hole that he can't pull you out of.
Amen. I love that. What an incredible conversation with my new friend Mary today as we unpack the topic of how to heal from sexual abuse. It was interesting to kind of see the shift change in what she identified herself as prior to really having this deep relationship with the Lord where he now defined her. I wanted to read to you an excerpt from her website of her kind of breaking down this change from the way that he's called her something new. She says this, she says, "I'm not the girl who experienced repeated rape at the age of 5. I'm not the daughter who lost a father to the specter of death. I'm not the teenager bent on destroying herself. I'm not the look at me, notice me, young adult who needed success to be her God. I'm simply Mary, loved wildly by Jesus." I love to see the transformation or the restory work that God did in her life and that I know he will do in your life as well. And then we kind of pivoted our conversation to really talk about how prayer is so important in our relationship and our walk with the Lord. One thing that she said is this: there's no better way to develop your faith than to dive into the scripture and spend some time with God. She encourages us that with this new devotional that she wrote, Pray Every Day, that it will give us the nudge that we need to challenge ourselves to daily walk in His Word. So remember, you can enter to win at bringinghopehope.com for that book giveaway. I had an incredible time inviting you into our conversation today. Thank you so much for being just such a support, such an encouragement. Y'all are incredible about sharing the podcast episodes on Facebook, in our Bring Your Hope Facebook group, or on Instagram as well. So if you're not following us or connecting with us each and every day in those conversations, please do so. We have so much fun, and I love that you guys get to be a part of the conversation, that it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. I wanted to take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor of the Bringing Her Hope podcast, Friends of Hope. Friends of Hope is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to the support of Christian radio, Christian events, new media, and activities that share the good news of Jesus Christ. So thanks again, Friends of Hope, for sponsoring the Bringing Her Hope podcast so we can continue to share more brave and beautiful stories of God's redemption. Well, I can't wait to share another story of God's redemption next time, but until then, keep living those brave stories for Jesus.